With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Here's Brown driving, kicking far corner, nearly stolen by Hood. Loose save by Nader, but Korver comes up with a loose ball. Down court, Clarkson turns, shoots a three, and hits that one as well. What a debut for Jordan Clarkson, 7 of 8 from the field.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
And they would go to 500 with a victory. Got a great job controlling the pace. He'll run it inside and count it. Oh, beautiful run into the paint by Donovan.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
4, 3, Thompson got a shot for the win.
He brings it up. He's got nothing. No one's open. He backs it out. He kind of loses the handle right here. Step back three. Look at the clock. Plenty of time. Ice cold. Good night from Corvallis.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. It is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague alongside Andy Dirt Johnson on this absolutely cold but beautiful day in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, we just need it to be about 20 degrees warmer, and golf is a lot easier in this cold weather. Just give me a little bit more warmth. That's all I'm asking for.
I think you go up even just 11 degrees. It's going to be like 49 today, so.
Yeah, you can golf in 49.
Oh, you can golf in this. No problem.
You're just layered up a little bit.
A little closer to 60 is a bit more comfortable. You can take a layer of clothing off at that point and swing a little freer. But
oh, I just need a t-shirt in 60. I'm good in 60.
Yeah, I can move around in a t-shirt. It hasn't been raining, so everything should be pretty dry out there. Even when it gets this cold, that's great. Freezes over a little bit overnight. Huh? Hardens up the greens. Go get some golf in.
Have you noticed that, so this is year two of the new play-by-play crew of Kevin and Lamar?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Have you guys noticed Kevin says Portland, Oregon every single time that he says Portland? So I've been following this now, and I've like, okay, you know, the first couple months, He's getting acclimated to this market. He's familiar with it because he's a Seattle guy.
Right.
He's been doing it now for 2 seasons. Like, he still, every time when they come in, welcome to Portland, Oregon.
You think, because he grew up in Indianapolis. He grew up in the Midwest.
Okay.
So you think that's just habit from having to differentiate between possibly Portland, Maine,
now,
and
I think some
Portland,
people are
Oregon?
Just full name people. Like, some folks are like this with your
Does
name
Does he do that
as
with
well.
Other cities?
Yeah.
So when he was like that.
I haven't paid that close attention.
When he was the national guy, he did that. Which makes sense. You're the national ESPN guy.
Yeah.
In Seattle, he had a mix. Because I actually watched a pretty decent chunk of Sonics games when he was calling it. He would do Seattle, Washington, but then that stopped and he would do just Seattle. He hasn't stopped it yet. It is still Portland, Oregon. And Kevin is a consummate pro. I'm not bad-mouthing his play-by-play ability by any means. But I'm watching that in my living room or my bedroom, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know.
Yeah, I know where the state is.
I live here.
It's an interesting thought.
You're only doing that.
How do you even pick up on something like this?
I don't know why I picked up. It started. I don't know. It's weird. I just kept hearing Portland and Oregon.
Like, why are you saying the whole thing? Just say Portland or Rip City or.
Well, and I'm a big NBA League Pass guy. So if there's a Blazer game not on, or I'm home at 4:30 or 5 and I have an hour and a half to kill and the kids are doing homework, or whatever, I will turn my NBA League Pass app on my TV and I will choose whatever game I want to watch and I'll do the telecast that I want. And through all my years of doing League Pass, I have noticed they don't do that in other cities. Because if you think about it, what's the percentage of your audience that is League Pass viewership versus your local audience?
Right, a very slim number are League Pass viewers.
I would say 5% or less are viewers that don't live and are not familiar with our beautiful state and city.
Yeah.
So you're just doing that for that audience? Or, like you said, maybe he's a full name guy.
I think he's a full name guy. I think if you met him and you knew Kevin Calabro, he would call you Brandon Sprague.
So you think every time after I met him the first time and he remembered me, would go, hi, Brandon Sprague?
Right. Do you not have people in your life that are full name people? I have a couple of folks in my life who still call me Andy Johnson. They still go the full name. They don't just go nickname. They don't just go first name.
Are they family?
No, just friends, acquaintances.
Are they friends of your older brother?
Sometimes, yes.
See, that would kind of make sense.
I think some people just like to do the full thing for whatever reason.
I have one guy that I do the full name to. Of all the people I know in my life, I have one person, and he used to play basketball, I believe at Benson, and his name's Rob Day.
You just call him Rob Day.
Well, here's the thing. I just saw him this weekend, and we did this, like, big group at a daddy-daughter dance thing, right? And we did that, and I didn't say it to his face. Every single time I've referenced him in conversations with people that know him or people that don't, I always call him Rob Day. Yeah, you know, Rob Day told me that, and he's the only guy that I do that with.
It's a brevity thing, I think, because his first name is so short.
Maybe that's what
it
is.
You just feel a little strange calling him Rob.
It's six letters total.
It's too quick. Rob Day. It's over too fast, and you want a little bit of a longer name.
I could go Robert, but he's been pretty stuck on the Rob thing, so I don't think he likes the Robert call.
Yeah, and it's some good points here, by the way, coming into the fan text line. Somebody says, I'm pretty sure everybody ordering the NBA League Pass knows what city every NBA team is in.
Right, there's not a Portland, Maine team.
No, there's
so
no.
If
you're
cares?
Ordering NBA League Pass, you are an NBA fan. And if you're turning on a Blazer game, you know exactly where the Blazers play. There's no surprise there. And we do have somebody saying that his girlfriend is from Vancouver. She grew up in Vancouver.
Canada?
Wah.
Okay.
And she always says Vancouver, Washington.
I understand.
Yeah, that's a way different scenario, though, isn't it?
Slightly.
Who's the bigger Vancouver? That's not even close.
Yeah, only if you're from... Now, see, the question I would have is, what context is it coming up? Is somebody asking you where you're from? Then, yes, you say, I'm from Vancouver, Washington. But if you just simply say, hey, we should go up to Vancouver, Washington this weekend.
That's weird.
Hey, where's your apartment at? It's in Vancouver, Washington. Or where are you going to dinner? Vancouver, Washington. Then it gets strange.
Yeah, see, when you do it in that scenario, you're absolutely right. It's... All right, if you say, where are you from, and you say Vancouver, even though I've lived in Vancouver, I've been in Portland basically my entire life, I will still go Canada or Washington. And I know it's right there, but, you know, the bigger Vancouver is the one that deserves the respect.
Yeah. Do you guys say Washington State?
No.
I have never been a Washington State. I've never been a Washington
State.
Not
unless I'm on the East Coast. Yeah. If I'm on the East Coast, then, yeah, you have to delineate that, because otherwise they'll think you're from the district.
But that's the district. It's not a state.
Not over there.
Yeah, well, they should step up. They're a district. They're not a state. It's a difference.
Yeah, Zach in Portland says his brother's a full name guy. It's weird. He does it to everybody. Hey, Jason Swigard.
Even to their face?
Hey, Brandon Sprague. Yeah, he said he does it to everybody. It's weird.
I get saying it like...
Full name. I think Calabro's a full name guy. We need to know somebody
who
knows.
He doesn't call Lamar Hurd every time. I'm Kevin Calabro. Well, he'll say, I'm Kevin Calabro with Lamar Hurd. But then throughout the game, he doesn't go... You know Lamar Hurd.
Does he drop a lot of Lamars throughout the broadcast?
Yeah. That's decent.
Okay, I don't catch that. You follow this stuff a lot closer than I do.
Have you not noticed this at all?
I have not noticed this at all.
Am I crazy for this?
No, I haven't paid that close attention.
As somebody pointed out, now that you brought this up, I will follow this.
You've created
every time
a new drinking game for the next Blazer game, I believe.
Watch, I'm telling you, Portland, Oregon, every time. And unless somebody's listening that's going to pass this little message along, he's going to ruin our drinking game. Right. I am telling you, this is a guarantee.
Somebody's got to go find film of him just saying Portland and see if it exists and blow this up in Sprague's face.
Dude, I'd love for you to blow this up. I would love to find out that I'm just crazy and I just happen to tune in every single time he says Portland, Oregon. But I am telling you, it is Portland, Oregon every time, 100%.
All right, there you go.
We didn't really get that with the last crew. That's the difference between the new crew.
Yeah, somebody said that he has to remind himself where he is constantly.
You know what he dropped last night? I don't know if you guys caught this either. Maybe I am just listening too much. He dropped to Seattle. The Utah Jazz are going to come in here to Seattle. I mean, Portland.
Ooh.
And I thought, I know you were there a long time, Kevin.
That one stings.
We can't, especially with a 20-point loss, we can't be dropping Seattle's instead of Portland's.
That one stings.
Especially with that whole stupid conspiracy that the Blazers are going to go to Seattle.
Yeah, at some point they're going to move up north, and that was the only reason he was hired, was because he used to be the voice of the Sonics.
You already have a lot of the crackpots out there that looked at that move and said, oh, here we go, Seattle guy for the Portland team that's going to move to Seattle. And then you drop that, and it's like, ah, no. Not good, not good. All right, we got a good show today. There is a lot to get to. I want to talk about the Winter Olympics. I actually wanted to talk about that to start the show. Did you guys watch over the weekend?
No, I was working over the weekend, but we were watching a lot of Olympics before the show. Some nice little speed skating, the one where they do cross-country skiing.
Biathlon.
And then they shoot with a BB gun sniper kind of thing.
I will not hear any other reasoning. That biathlon event, which is cross-country skiing, and then they stop and shoot BB guns, that was created by drunk people from an Arctic area of some sort. That is the only way you come up with that sport.
Yeah, what do we do? It's the middle of the winter. Let's have some fun. How about we cross-country ski and shoot some guns?
Yes, you are not sitting at a table years and years ago going, what kind of sports? You know what? I was thinking we could cross-country ski and then shoot guns. No, you are hammered drunk coming up with that game. It's the only way it exists.
You know, it sounds like a lot of fun.
I want to ski and shoot.
Shoot at a target.
Sure, let's do that. So maybe we talk a little bit about the Winter Olympics. Are you into it at all? We had some luge this weekend. We had the half pipe with snowboarding going on. Of course, you had figure skating, which can be a big hit and miss with some
Hooray.
Of the audience. So maybe we get into that. We will talk the Blazers.
Bad boys.
Yeah, haven't really been bad boys this year.
What was the worst boys? It was getting blown out on your home floor or having a team do that wearing those uniforms. What was the worst part about last night?
Or maybe you've already come to a conclusion on who Yusuf Nurkic is as a player.
You just settled in on that one?
From all the Nurk fever to...
Yeah.
I don't even have, like...
Nurk fever!
Yeah, nothing.
Am I out of my gourd to say that those are the ugliest uniforms in the NBA?
No. Those are hideous.
They're nice, but they don't make sense for Utah.
However...
No, those...
If Phoenix had those,
son,
you'd like them.
My son thought they were cool, so...
Yeah, my wife
he's,
loved
He's
my
about
wife
to turn 17.
Them.
Yeah, he not like... Like prodding dad. He honestly thought they were cool looking.
If it's in your color scheme, you can pull it off.
Right.
As you mentioned with Phoenix.
Yeah, I want to know where the tequila sunrise became part of the Utah uniform.
It's like the Red Rocks thing, right? I think it's what they're trying to...
Oh, is that what it's homage to?
Trying to pay homage to the Red Rocks, but...
Aren't the Red Rocks red?
Can we keep it in the same color scheme here at Utah?
I don't know. There's like 18 national parks in southern Utah because nobody wants to live there, but...
Yeah, their name's already the Jazz, which doesn't fit at all, and they have red jerseys, I don't know, red and orange jerseys. What the hell are you doing, Utah?
Well, let's just start there. Let's start with the Portland Trail Blazers because last night they got a big slap in the face.
Bad boys.
Of what they could have had. And it just, that one hurt a little bit. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. Something big happened over the weekend for the state of Oregon that was capped off yesterday, but I have a feeling nobody cares. We'll tell you what that is. LeBron James continues to just be rewarded because he's an amazing basketball player and life is unfair.
Is that still a dumb trade for Cleveland?
Yeah, you can let us know if you still got those hot takes out there on that one, 55305. But I want to start with the Blazers, who played Utah last night. They lost by 19. They just got pummeled in the second half, especially that third quarter. I believe they were outscored 38 to 19?
38 to 19 in the third quarter.
Yeah, defensively, Utah ratcheted up. You got Rudy Gobert that's back. By the way, I think they are 10-2 since he returned in their last 12 games. The one that hurts me, though, was the one that we missed on. And this kind of has been a running theme for the Blazers a little bit this year. Donovan Mitchell came in here last night and looked like an absolute superstar prized possession that they got in the draft. And unfortunately, Portland was one of the teams that looked at him, but said no thanks.
No, they packaged picks, traded up, and took Zach Collins, who last night had 0 points, was 0-for-1 in 14 minutes. He did have 3 assists and 2 rebounds, so he had that going for him, but not quite 27. 6-2. I mean, there was a number of teams that missed on Donovan Mitchell. He went 13th overall out of Louisville.
Right, but some of those teams weren't looking for Donovan Mitchell, and they drafted in similar positions. So Portland is one of those teams.
Yeah, and the Blazers took two guys at positions where they were absolutely stacked at the power forward and center positions in Swanigan and Collins, and they were in the midst of trying to get rid of one of their guards in Allen Crabb, who they ended up trading in the offseason. So would have been a need there, and it's going to be a kick below the belt every time they play Utah, because when you just simply watch how good Donovan Mitchell is, the role that he's playing on that team, how efficient he is as a rookie, he's going to be the rookie of the year, And you just picture that in a Blazer uniform.
Simmons is close,
yeah. You just picture that in a Blazer uniform and either in the starting lineup, playing at the three. Maybe it makes CJ expendable, and you could have traded him for another all-star caliber piece to balance out the roster. Like, it just opens up all of your options. And you're going to watch how good Mitchell turns out to be. And it's something we brought up last week. The teams around the league were calling about Zach Collins, interested in trading for him, and the Blazers said no. And you got to hope and cross your fingers he pans out to be something as well.
Way overreactionary because, well, I get it how early it is, but I jokingly tweeted last night, I think he is already making my list of biggest Blazer draft regrets ever.
Yeah.
Along some of the other names that we could mention, just because we knew they were looking at him. You know, it's not that they just simply passed him over. If we hadn't heard any rumblings about the Blazers being interested in him, the relationship he has with Damian Lillard, then fine. We would sit here and go, man, they really hit on that kid, huh? That was an amazing player. But because we know Portland was looking and sniffing around at him, it just hurts a little bit. And the NBA, give me your two cents on this. I think the NBA is at the as best a position as it possibly has ever been, where you don't have to just draft for position. You can draft simply best player.
Sure.
And because of the way the league is set up, the way it's evolved with three-point shooting and spacing, you can't sit there and just go, well, you have 2 6'3" or under guards on your team.
Why would you want another one? 6'3" guard?
Yes, you can't take another 6'3" guard. To that, I would simply say you take the best talent you can every time and you try to figure out the rest.
Yeah.
Just go get the best possible players. This has happened time and time again in the NBA where you can look back on history and that's hurt them. You can look back in recent drafts and say, well, why did you pass that one up? Teams do that too often. And I just wonder if you were ever to ask Neil Olshey, honestly, would you have drafted if you didn't have a CJ McCollum? Was that what it was? You already had two guards. And so that steers you away to go get a Collins if that's what it was.
Right.
Versus just simply saying you thought Zach Collins was better and is a better prospect than Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, it's short-sighted. You should always take the best player available, especially in a sport like basketball when there's only five spots in the starting lineup. And you could have had him coming off the bench. And as I mentioned a moment ago, maybe you end up trading CJ McCollum for a small forward or a power forward or whatever positional need you felt like you had. You could have moved on from one of your other guys. And I think the reason it hurts so much is because Zach Collins, I know the ceiling's high. I know everybody's raving about him. He hasn't done anything this year. The guy's averaging 4 points and 3 rebounds a game in his rookie season. We understand that he's going to be a project. I'm not giving up on him, 40, 50 games into his NBA career and saying he can't pan out and into anything. But when you take him ahead of somebody who is averaging 19 points a game and looking great, especially after they trade Rodney Hood and he's filling a whole different role for the Jazz and they've won 9 straight games largely because of him and the season he's having, that's what hurts so much. Like, if Collins was out here scoring 14 and grabbing 9 boards a game and had stepped into a starting center or power forward role for this team, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. Like, do you remember the stars that went after CJ or Dame in the draft? No, you don't talk about that very often. But when you take somebody, like Luke Babbitt and a star goes after him, or you take a Nolan Smith and an all-star goes a couple of spots after him,
or you don't go get Chris Paul,
that's when it becomes an issue. And so far, I hope Collins turns into something, but that's why this is an issue, is Collins is scoring 4 points a game.
They are 2.5 games out of the playoffs. And I think they're also pretty close to the 5-6 seed. Let me look that up. I forgot to...
Look, I said this last... I've been saying this for a while. But some people laughed at me. I don't think the Clippers are done because they kept DeAndre and they re-signed Lou Williams.
They're a game out of 5, and they're about 2.5 out of the 4.
Yeah, they're a game behind OKC, who was leveled off. They've been in peaks and valleys this year where they'll win 7-8 in a row, and then they'll lose a bunch in a row. They've been an interesting team to follow. But Denver, in my opinion, got a little bit better at the trade deadline. They're only 0.5 game behind you. New Orleans, it's still going to be tough for them without Cousins, but they're only 1 game back. And the Jazz are the hottest team in the NBA right now. I mean, they won 9 in a row. The only other team close to that is Houston, who's won 8 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a completely different basketball team with Gobert. They're back to 500. They're not going anywhere. So these are those games that Portland you just can't let slip through your fingers, especially on a weekend where they got torn apart last week by their head coach because of the way they sleptwalked through the second half. Lillard responds, going for a 50 spot in 3 quarters against Sacramento on Friday.
Yeah.
Which he was really the only guy to show up in that game. He was kind of the only guy that needed to when you play like that. And then they're a no-show at home against the Jazz. Like, it's just, it's been a frustrating couple of games for them since the deadline. Well,
you know, a big problem with them, too, is they have to they have to take these games. The approach is this is a playoff game. You know, I know they would probably say, well, that is our, nah, I think sometimes you look at the way they play and you can just see when they're engaged and when other teams basically just steal their will. And I got that last night. Like the first half, first quarter, they played okay. Utah responded pretty decently to close the half. You have a close game going in. Second half, you basically look at that as a 0-0 start. Mm-hmm. And Utah comes out and just socks you and knocks you right out with a right hook. And your response is nothing. That's what hurts so much about watching this team is they have the nights where they go out there, ball movement's crisp, they've got a ton of assists, guys like Mo are lighting it up, everybody just feels good. And you go, okay, let's get that going. And then it's nights like last night against Utah where you know Utah's playing well, they won 8 straight, and Gobert is there, but it's a good challenge for you. And then Yusuf Nurkic does next to nothing. Then he leaves the game with what they label, I think, as a sore back.
Yeah, he had hurt feelings.
CJ McCollum was not very good last night, turning the ball over. Those are the times that I just wish that they would, you know, just get down and start trying to fight people back. Whereas I think some games they just give up may not be the right term, but because I can't think of any other, it kind of feels like give up. Utah went in there in the second half. They did what they wanted defensively, and you couldn't stop them when you were on defense because Nurkic was out and nobody protected the paint, and they're horrible on the pick and roll.
Yeah, I don't know where other Blazer fans are out on Nurkic, but 14 minutes, no points, 0-for-4. Gobert completely shut him out.
Does the back injury change last night? Because I saw a lot of people giving opinions on Nurkic, but then you had the Blazers saying that he left with a lower sore back or whatever it was.
No, because it's not just last night that I'm basing my opinion off of. He's been wildly inconsistent all season. He's been, to me, he's just a new version of Nick Batum, but Nick Batum at least was putting up 15-5-5 every single night. Nurkic, when you have those kind of peaks and valleys as a player, it's so frustrating because he shows you he has the potential to do it. Like, I go back to the 76er game. I think you were out that night, but he ended up taking an elbow to the face. He didn't do anything in the first 2.5 quarters, takes an elbow to the face, wakes up, dominates the fourth, plays great defense, scoring in the low post. It's like, where the hell was that? And then after the game, it's all about mean Nurkic. When it's the same thing as Mo Harkless, when New York Mo shows up.
Yeah.
Why the hell doesn't New York Mo play 82 games? Right. Because I sure love it when he shows up and he gives you a decent night. That's who Nurkic has turned into. And it's the reason why we were hammering home, what do you do with him at the deadline? Because you still have to make a decision on him. Is he your long-term center? Is that somebody you want to commit to? The inconsistency at the center position. I think the Nurk fever is basically gone from Portland.
I think it's long gone from Portland. It's not that people necessarily have given up, but where we were the first 20 games when he played here. By the way, that trade was made a year ago today.
Yeah.
As I think Jason Quick pointed that out. So it's been exactly a year since we got Nurkic, and we've seen the highest of highs. And had the hope build up, and then you've seen what you've basically seen this year, which is what leads me, just as a fan, how much money are you going to pay that guy? What are you willing to match? He may not have a big market, but if a team goes out there and offers him 50, are you going to match $50 million?
One dumb team throws that amount of money at him?
Dude, I mean, I know he's 23, but I'm going to have to pass on $50 million, especially with the kind of, well, you mentioned the Philly game where you're doing nothing and it takes an elbow. And now all of a sudden you're out there and you're playing tough. Come on, where is that consistency? You need that.
That's the story of this team this year.
Yeah, if you want to be in that Western Conference conversation. All right, and let's go to this one. Why does LeBron James get every nice thing? And did a GM teach us a very valuable lesson? That's next. Hey, something to ponder over, Dirt. Is if you were in the Olympics and you didn't win gold, but you finish second or third, is there a difference for you emotionally for silver versus bronze? I want you to think about that.
Okay, I actually have a hot take on that.
Okay.
I do. You asked me that question, and I have come up with a hot take on the silver-bronze debate.
Okay, because I have an opinion on that as well as we watched some of the highlights with a couple of the events they've already medaled and they finished, and we watched one of them today.
Somebody took offense, by the way, to us calling those BB guns. Apparently, they're high, powerful rockets. Launchers, not rocket launchers, but
rifles.
Yeah, rifles.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what they were. I didn't.
It's just kind of a quiet sound. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not, doesn't make a big bang.
It sounds like an airsoft gun when you shoot it, kind of. It's like a.
So I didn't know how serious of a gun it was, but somebody said, very serious rifle.
Okay. I don't know anything about guns, so.
Not like they're firing off buckshot or anything.
Be a lot cooler if they did.
Actually would be.
You got to hit the animal or something.
Give them a double barrel shotgun.
Dude, you know what you do?
You
make
got
that sport
one shot.
Pump action do. Going yeah. on.
You give them that gun, then you assign them a duck, and you have a thing of ducks, and you make them fly up as they get there, and
that
you have to hit
ass.
Your duck moving.
That would be kick-ass.
That would be awesome, yeah.
It's like you're at the carnival at the Midway here.
And we need we should do some research on this, but as you know, we don't do a lot of research. Somebody said that was created in World War II.
I don't okay. do a ton of research.
That sport. Somebody texted in and said it was the Norwegians, and they were like, they had military folks who skied around and shot Nazis.
And then they said, hey, let's just make this for the Olympics.
Yeah, let's
so
turn this
into
a sport.
We need some form to do now after...
Right? War's over.
War's over.
You shoot Nazis, I'm all about it.
They had fun, like, skiing through the back country and shooting people, so they just put some targets on it, made it a race.
Okay, shout out to listeners helping us out with that one. I did want to read one tweet on the Blazers because we were talking about their loss to Utah. Sean tweeted us at Dirt and Sprague. We had 3 first-round picks. Look at the rookie performances this season. Some picked late like Kuzma. So far, I have to say Neil botched it big time.
Yeah, speaking of draft bust, by the way, Greg Oden's going to go to the Big 3 league.
Well, maybe he won't be a bust in the Big 3.
So,
half-court basketball could work for him.
Who needs Durant?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Go win some Big 3 titles. Did you see LeBron's new guys this weekend?
I did. I got up and saw a little bit of this game on Sunday before I had to head in to do another Winter Hawk game.
I'm
and
glad you got up just in time for that 12:30 tip.
Okay, first, I got back from Seattle at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I had to sleep in a little bit. But I laughed my ass off for the entirety of this game because Kyrie scored a couple of buckets on him early, and it was like all over Twitter, Kyrie 1, LeBron nothing.
Yeah.
And then he got a stop or stole it from him, Kyrie 2, LeBron nothing. And they ended up winning the game by 22 points.
I kept thinking about that one. I don't know why, but I kept thinking about this one listener that texted our show on trade day and told me how dumb I was and how I don't watch basketball or know anything about basketball because the Cavs did nothing with that trade. Now, I would like to defend said opinion and say it was one game.
Sure.
Let's see what they're like. But when you face maybe the best team in the East and you win by 25 on their home court, and you basically S all over Paul Pierce's retirement jersey day.
It was hilarious.
Gotta say, I think the GM of the Cavaliers, Kobe Altman, felt pretty damn good about the moves he made for LeBron.
But especially that's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, at least in some folks' minds. I've never wavered on Cleveland, even when they were playing awful. If they would have kept the roster intact, maybe at some point my opinion would have wavered and said, all right, they're probably not going to win the Eastern Conference this year. But after they made these moves, I loved everything about them. Thomas and Crowder never fit in Cleveland. It was a chemistry issue and an on-the-court issue. So they solved both of those. Dwayne Wade's like 67 years old at this point.
And he wanted to be in Miami anyway.
He wants to go home. Like, they did everybody a favor there. He wasn't doing anything. That was just a LeBron James teaming up with his old buddy story for a couple of months. So they got rid of that problem.
Derrick Rose got married for 2 weeks and left
Derrick
the team.
He's already been waived, hasn't he? Like, he's not even on a team anymore, is he?
They think the T-Wolves want to get him. Yeah, okay. He had like a
but
buyout
he got
situation.
Got bought out.
Yeah, the Suns bought him out.
And like, no, thanks. We don't even want you to show up. Take your money and go. And you look at what they brought off the bench now. Clarkson, who's a good young athlete, a good scorer, and Rodney Hood, who just wasn't a fit for him anymore in Utah. This guy's combined for 33 points off the bench. Like, this wasn't even a LeBron 40-point dominating win. LeBron was 9 of 20 from the floor. He almost had a triple-double, so, you know, we laugh at that being a bad game. But only 24 for him. It was the bench scoring. It was Hood and Clarkson who had big days off the bench for him.
Yeah, and George Hill didn't really have a great offensive game. He is one of the best 3-point percentage-wise shooters in this league, and he couldn't hit anything. And they still comfortably blew out Boston. It's a reminder that LeBron very well could be out of his prime in just a year. I mean, the dude's got miles. Nothing is impossible to me. But, man, it's a reminder of how good he still is. And if you just have the right pieces, they go from suddenly, if they say, string along 7 convincing dominant wins and play that kind of basketball, I'm not telling you they beat Golden State, but they deserve to be in a conversation of if they get there, can they hang and maybe push them a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there yet just because I'm of that opinion of Golden State. Nobody can beat them. I would love to see it. But it reiterates 2 opinions that I had about Cleveland this year and really of teams of, you know, that are in their position. And that is, one, knowing that you have LeBron for one more year, you had to go all in. They held on to the draft pick, which could have brought something pretty sizable in return if they would have moved on from it. But they got better, especially on the bench. They got more athletic. They got length. And I love that just, you know, hey, we have a once-in-a-generational player in LeBron. We were gifted him being born in this area, and that's the reason he wanted to come back and play for us. He might leave in free agency. If he does, we owe it to our fans. We owe it to ourselves. Let's go try and win it. It's not working. Let's swing for the fences and see if it works. But even then, on top of it, they're trying to prove to LeBron that they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep him around. And they're not just going to sit on their hands like they did the last time he was there, not trying to improve the roster. And so it's a twofold positive for me of one, they went all in for this year and they got much better at the deadline. But two, LeBron can sit around and say, you know what? Do I really want to go out west? I mean, yeah, maybe some of these teams in the East are intriguing, but I got management now that's willing to move on from any player in any situation and basically do whatever I want them to do. That's a pretty good situation to be in for a star.
Well, and I think that was the overall message you walk away from. Granted, just one game. Kobe Altman as a rookie GM thrown into the fire of LeBron James and make him happy recognizes that one, he got completely screwed over in that Kyrie trade.
Yeah.
He'd made no good signings and moves to put guys around LeBron, recognized it, kept the draft pick, which is probably going to be top six-ish, I would guess. So you're going to get a really nice young talent, or you parlay that into maybe a pretty good star player.
Sure, sure.
And you're right. I think LeBron will still have to make his mind up. But, man, that is the best team in the East that you played. I know Toronto's having a great year, but until I see Kyle Lowry actually do it in the playoffs, I'm not buying it. That was the best team sans you in the East, and you shut that crowd up for basically 2.5 quarters. And you saw, if you get those right pieces, you're not going anywhere. You are at least going to get back to the finals. Now, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's see what they do coming up. But with that one-game sample size, with new players not practicing it all together, and that's what you get in the first game, I think it's a lot for LeBron to really think about of, do you really want to leave here? You could retire in Cleveland, and some people will never like you, but, man, your legacy is going to look great. You stuck it out in Cleveland for a long time. You went to Miami, learned how to win, had some of the best years of your life. You came back to Cleveland and got a title for a city that was titleless, and you retired there. Like, that's a pretty cool legacy in
my
opinion.
It is. Was I the only one, too, that was happy to see Paul Pierce's day ruined?
Oh, and it was by LeBron James, coincidentally.
I loved every moment.
Did you hear? It was funny. I know we got to go swag. It was funny, though, because they had a story they kept saying. They interviewed Doc, and they talked on the telecast. They asked Paul himself, what's your fondest memory? You would think he'd say winning a title, beating Kobe.
That's a pretty fond memory.
His biggest accomplishment to him and everybody else was that they beat LeBron in the semis. That tells you the greatness of LeBron James. We beat LeBron in the second round once.
Remember that one time in the second round?
That one time he had Boobie Gibson and we beat him and Boobie Gibson?
Yeah, the way that he complained about Isaiah Thomas stealing his show and they can't air a tribute video. And this was all on them too because they were so confident in a win. They waited to hold the ceremony until after the game. When you go to those kind of ceremonies, those tributes, they are 98% of the time before the game. You just push back the start time a good 15 minutes or so. Everybody comes out on the floor. The place is packed. You always do those before the game. They were confident they were going to win. Everybody would be feeling good. They waited, and they ended up losing by 22.
All right, answer this question. If you won bronze instead of silver, would it really matter to you at 55305? And then also, I have a feeling I know how this next segment's going to go, but screw it. Let's do it anyway. A big weekend for the state of Oregon capped off yesterday. But do people care? That's next on The Fan. You know, you're reminded every once in a while just where some people are intellectually. And this is us saying it, so trust me when I say this. We put up a Facebook post today. I did. And it's a topic we'll get to. There are three states that are trying to propose bills or are proposing bills to ban tackle football for ages like 14 and under.
Yeah.
So before high school.
Right.
And I put that up and not surprised people are outraged and upset by it. There's one human being that just should stand up. Round of applause for your incredible, intelligent contribution to the post, basically.
Take a bow.
It's very offensive, too. And I just sit here and I'm like, wow, okay.
It goes through people's minds on social media.
I think when you write what that individual writes, you don't have much going through your mind,
yeah,
is what I would say.
And he's one of the people I feel like some folks would say it to your face too. Like if you asked him, what do you think about banning tackle football?
Yeah.
He'd shoot from the hip and say exactly what he wrote in the comments.
Yeah, that individual is bad at a barbecue.
Jesus, dude, you can't say that kind of stuff in public.
Steve just got here. What are you doing?
Come on, man.
I asked for the break. We're watching the Winter Olympics, and I watched a little bit over the weekend, and the luge is on right now on NBC. If you got silver, or if you got bronze instead of silver, would you emotionally, would there be a difference for you?
Yeah, there actually would be for me.
Okay.
There would, and I think some comedians have pointed this out before, so this isn't like a unique thought for me, but it does ring true. I would rather get the bronze than the silver. Because the silver...
You'd rather get third than second?
Because if I got second place, all I would think about is how I didn't win and how close I was to getting a gold medal. Because, that's what you're going for. You're going for the gold. The silver and the bronze, there's not a huge difference there. And if you're, like, especially if it's a close second place finish and you're always left being like, I was that close to getting a gold medal. Whereas if you win a bronze, you're like, hey, this is cool. I got a medal. You probably weren't close to winning a gold. You're on the medal stand. You get rewarded as one of the three best at that sport in the world. That's a pretty big deal. But silver, I would always be left wondering, what could I have done to shave off that half a second to get a gold medal?
What if you didn't come close, though?
Then it's a little bit different. Like, if you just get completely blown out.
It's a distant second, third.
Yeah, if it's a distant second, then I'm okay with it. But if it's in some of these things that are like a... Because, like, some of these luge things, like 46 seconds is the time, and then 46.42 is the silver medal. Like, just what? One shift of the right hip around a certain turn?
Right.
And you would have won a gold medal.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
So I think if you're going to place in your top three, if you're not going to get the gold, I don't think emotionally it matters to me. As long as I'm on that podium.
As long as you're up there.
Yeah, if I'm bronze, whatever. I got a medal. I was top three in an event. Because, one, nobody's ever going to really remember who was second or third. They're always going to remember the gold medalist. And two... When you talk at a party or you talk at a corporation of some sort, sure, they'll label you Andy Johnson, silver medalist, right? But most people in conversations go, oh, yeah, that was a top three guy at the Olympics. You know, they're not going to sit there.
You won't remember this. It. If you don't win the gold, you don't remember the specific medal.
I think it also depends on the event. Like if it's like the luge guy.
Yeah.
That was the first ever American male medalist in luge, ever.
We had never had a luge medalist
not men.
Before?
No.
Why did we suck at the luge?
Well, we got like four places that do it.
So there was a...
The countries, it's like the thing to do.
The woman who carried the flag in the opening ceremonies, she won in the last Olympics, and she was the first American ever in luge. But the guy that won over the weekend, first man, American man. So I think that's different. Now, if, you know, it's a sport, you know, if you're track and field and you're a sprinter and you come up with a single bronze, cool for you, but we're not remembering you.
Yeah, we got a bunch of those.
How many golds did Carl Lewis win? I mean.
That's an interesting, the uniqueness of the sport.
But when you're the first one ever to medal in a sport that is kind of foreign to.
For sure.
To the United States and its fans, I think that's significant. No matter what the medal is.
As Americans, there's not many sports like that, though, are there?
Well, there's tons in the Olympics.
That we don't, like, have any role in at all.
I think it's more the winter than it is the summer, though.
Yeah, probably.
What's our worst sport in the summer?
I don't know. Have we ever medaled in modern pentathlon, archery?
I would imagine we're good. Why wouldn't we be good archers?
I didn't even know that those were sports in the Summer Olympics.
Do we struggle with archery? I feel like that's something we'd be good at.
Dude, I know of tons of people that bow hunt.
I do, too.
Like, you can't hit a target.
Send one of them to the Olympics.
You just killed an elk.
Killed a deer from 200 yards away.
It's like a 15-point elk.
What's Bo Jackson doing?
Yeah, he shoots him with his feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Send Bo.
Yeah, I think it's for sure more the Winter Olympics that we're very foreign to. Of like,
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point about the luge. Like, how many luge tracks exist in the United States? Probably not many.
Over three?
Like, how do you start with that as a kid? Like, you just go on a slide?
So one of the guys that did it, they're doing like this tell your story thing, and it's like a quick 30-second how you got into the sport. One of them was the luger, and he said his dad just somehow got into it when he was a kid, and they used to do it going sledding. His dad actually spent a ton of money and built a luge track in their backyard.
That's pretty kick-ass.
He said they went to Home Depot. They got everything they did. He built it. And they just launched down the little luge track he built, and you kind of crashed into like a pile of leaves and stuff.
That's what people do now with the American Ninja Warrior stuff. because there's like a lot of, you can't go do that anywhere, but it's such a big deal on TV. People build their own things in their backyard.
So when I was in LA and stayed at Crawford's house, he lives in Newport. There's a place in Costa Mesa, a YMCA gym. They built an entire outdoor American Ninja Warrior course.
That's awesome.
For people to work out that way. I think that's becoming kind of a new thing too. You're going to see more and more for areas that can have outdoor activity for longer periods of time. They offer that service.
Hmm.
And I thought that was really cool.
That's pretty cool to get. That's an awesome physical activity. Yeah, my only issue with the Olympics so far, and I don't know, maybe this is just a stupid male thing to say. The ice dancing stuff doesn't really do it for me. I'm just not a huge participant in that. And I feel like it's been on NBC a lot. It's been a lot of ice dancing.
There was supposed to be both the men's and women's downhill, and they were both postponed because of like 50-mile-an-hour winds up at the top.
Winds are killing it.
They're filling for programming because they were supposed to have downhill skiing.
Yeah, the wind. Did you see the half-pipe snowboarding? I watched that, and I saw two people like seriously bite it hard, and they blamed the wind. The wind's been horrible over there. So... And I'm with you on like the ice dancing.
So yeah, they're filling for some programming that they thought they would have some more events out from the alpine skiing.
Yeah, I just mix it up a little bit. You know, we get it. The ice dancing's big. That one guy who's in the booth that looks like the Hunger Games. You know, he wears his hair all up. What's his name?
Johnny Weir. I think.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, Johnny Weir.
He looks like seriously. Go look at pictures.
I get what you're saying now.
He looks like a Hunger Games announcer.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games. It's just, you know, spread the love a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that I tune in for ice dancing, but if I turn it on and it's on, I end up watching it because I'm just like...
Well, and that's my thing. It's like, I feel like most people, when you watch the Olympics, you're not really watching for a specific event. You're just kind of like, hey, let's USA, let's watch the Olympics. Let's turn it on. You're not going to change it. Like on NBC, if they go to curling all of a sudden, or if they go to the luge, or if they go to the bobsled... You're not going to be like, screw this. No more ice dancing. I'm going to change the channel. I think you're in for the Olympics. And whatever they put on, you're going to watch.
All right. Well, we didn't get to the good news for the state of Oregon in that segment. We'll have to push that a little bit into the show because I'm not sure how many people care all that much. But something did happen yesterday. We do have a busy second hour. One of the dumber things I've ever heard from a Super Bowl champion came from over the weekend. What are the 49ers going to do with their prized linebacker and the Cubs? Step up and pay that man his money. We'll get to all of that next, but first our NFL whip around. Dirt and Sprague back with more. Second hour here on Portland Sports Radio, 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.